Jason, weird stuff always happens when the Bears play at the Commanders, and Monday night was no different. We'll break it all down coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, do you remember Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? You ever see that?
Yeah, but a lot of our audience will not have seen it. They're too young.
I'm sorry. God bless you for being too young, but weird stuff's always going down at the Circle K, is what they say there. Weird stuff is always going down at Northwest Stadium.
Just say what happened at the end so I can do my new catchphrase real quick.
Jake Moody hit a 38-yard field goal at the gun to win the game.
Wee doggy!
What is that?
That's what I did last time. When they blocked a field goal to win it. It's an objective reaction.
Stuff that is very un-Bears-like. Usually this happens to them. The last couple of weeks, it has happened for them.
Yeah.
And even Cole Kmet said tonight, he's not used to that. That's a pretty good feeling. Tonight was a really interesting story. It wasn't great offense by the Bears. It was good defense for about a half. But the story was Jake Moody. He was a practice squad kicker until 4 p.m. Eastern. Today, he took Cairo Santos' place because of his quad injury. And all he did is go out and make four field goals and have one blocked. But the big one was the 38-yarder. At the end of a drive, Jason, that was methodical and effective and had very little to do with Caleb Williams, but that's okay too.
You know, some people questioned the value, Patrick. I really need to call this out. Some people questioned the value of picking up Jake Moody to put on their practice squad.
Was that you and I?
It might have been me, actually, yeah. Why do that when it will only upset Cairo Santos and there is no possible benefit to it? Oh, wait.
It angered Cairo. Angered up his quad, at the very least.
Now it's Monday Night Football in Landover, Maryland, and Jake Moody is such a great story.
Right.
This is a guy who was a star college kicker at Michigan. He was drafted higher than any kicker in basically the last decade. He was a third-round pick by the 49ers, kicked in the Super Bowl as a rookie. I mean, what a meteoric rise, and then such a plunge after that. His accuracy dipped last season. He got cut after one game this season by the 49ers. Think about that. Think about drafting a kicker in the third round, and at the start of his third season, you're done with him. Declines in his accuracy, some missed field goals. He comes to the Bears. He's been on the practice squad for a month, and his job has just been to kind of listen and learn to Cairo Santos and Scott Daly and Richard Hightower and just kind of try to get right with no real objective other than just to improve and maybe save his career. And if the goal has been to save his career, today was quite a step toward that because he had, what did he hit in the first quarter? A 47-yard and a 48-yard, I think?
Correct.
He had a 47-yarder, a 48-yarder, a 41-yarder. He had one blocked. And then, that 38-yarder, so that's an easy kick, I guess you could say, if there is such a thing.
It's an easy kick when somebody else is doing it.
It's for them, for the guys that are pros at this. I mean, they would love a straight down the middle 38-yarder. That sounds pretty appetizing. But I'm sitting there watching and I'm like thinking about as he's lining up for this, Pet, and it's Monday Night Football, national TV, packed house in Washington, such high stakes for the Bears specifically after what they went through against the Commanders last year. And I'm like, man, what's going through his mind with all the struggles he's had with getting booted out of San Francisco one game into the season and having a field goal blocked Monday night as well. And I don't know that any of that was really on his mind. He talked after the game about what he has done to stay dialed in and to stay focused, I guess, or confident, mentally strong through all of these struggles that he's had. And he said it's just that the past is irrelevant. It's you focus on the next kick. And, I mean, he is your headline tonight. Practice squad kicker activated 4 hours before the game. Kicks the game winner in a place that was the pivotal game and place for the Bears last season in a bad way. You wonder now, could this be something that launches them forward? And they've still got all the flaws that they've got. But they're 3-2. The next four teams they play are doing badly. I don't know if the Ravens, I'm not ready to call the Ravens a bad team yet, but all the teams they play for the next four games are 1 or 2 win teams. The Bears have an opportunity to really gain some momentum and gain some ground.
Jake Moody, I'm sure, knows what this means for him. You know, this is a guy who he had one kick. He missed a kick in week 1 and had another one blocked. And when they cut him the 49ers coach essentially said, man, he's just got no confidence. So, like, he knows what this means for him. I don't think he knows what this means for the Bears. I just don't think he's been here long enough. And
he'd be not totally clueless to not know.
Well, I don't think he...
Especially this week.
He doesn't understand, maybe. Maybe he knows...
He doesn't feel it.
He doesn't feel it.
He can't possibly feel it. He was on another team.
But for the Bears to come here in this place and win, I think is symbolic at worst and the start of something new at best. And Jason, just to get down there, they needed some things to break their way. And the big thing was... 3rd-and-1 at the 40 going in for the Commanders.
For Washington, yeah.
Yes. They are ahead by 2 with 3 minutes to play. It's 3rd-and-1, Jason. They need 2 first downs, probably, and this thing is done. And in a pistol formation, Jaden Daniels gets the snap, turns to his left to hand it off to Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
No. It was Jeremy McNichols.
It was not. It was Merritt.
It was?
Yep.
Sorry.
And fumbles. And the fumble is credited to Daniels. And the ball's on the ground. And all of a sudden, Nashawn Wright falls on it. And the Bears have the ball at the 44. And they're in business, Jason. Like they were playing out the string. And all of a sudden, they have an opportunity to go down the field. And 4 minutes earlier, they had that same opportunity to go down the field. They got the ball at their own 9. And they went... offensive offsides, right? A run for -2, dropped pass, short completion, punt.
Yep.
This drive, though, Jason, was a lot more productive than that.
This was a running drive. By the way, when we talk about the key, the stories today, I mean, it is Jake Moody. The headline in Washington is Jaden Daniels blows the game.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a really epic collapse. That's not quite a Fail Mary, like stick with you for the rest of your life, but...
I do have a nickname for it.
I mean... Go ahead.
Do you want it in print?
Yeah.
I call it the hands-off handoff.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Should be more excited about that.
If we work down the list, I'm not sure where everybody else lands on DeAndre Swift, but he is the unsung hero. He is high on my list of things that made this happen for the Bears. DeAndre Swift was the glue to that offense. On a day when they didn't look great, Caleb Williams didn't look great. He looked fine. And hit, by the way, you know, so they get a Caleb Williams gets a 55-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Swift in the stats. It went, he was under pressure. It was a dump off, 4 yards past the line of scrimmage. DeAndre Swift slips a tackle on the left sideline and then just straight up outruns whoever the corner was. Oh, Lattimore to the end zone for 55 yards. That one play, Pat, spiked Caleb Williams' passer rating for the day, 20 points. You take that out, he's like 70-something. You have it in, it's 90-something. Caleb Williams completes 17 of 29 passes for 252 yards, a touchdown, a 98.6 passer rating. And he can thank DeAndre Swift for not just that 20-point bump, but also... DeAndre Swift's effectiveness. You asked me about the last drive of the game, and I've veered into this whole, poem about DeAndre Swift. At the end, let's cut right to the end. They get the ball with, what, how much time left did they have? 3 minutes?
Three minutes.
Like that?
Yep.
At their own end of the field, that's passing time when you're losing. That's 100% passing time. And Ben Johnson calls in over the headset to Caleb, "We're looking good. We're blocking well. Swift is running well. We're going to ride the run to this win." And Caleb says, okay. And it's counterintuitive, and it didn't start out super promising. I think he got 2 yards Swift did on the first run and then 3 yards, and then Caleb converted a 3rd-and-5. And Swift just keeps going, and then he gets a 10-yard run, and you're at the 31 and or somewhere around there. And victory is within reach. At that point, it is possible to win it from there. Then he gets a 15-yard run. He's at the 18. That is basically game over if you can count on your kicker, which they could. DeAndre Swift, I saw it from the beginning. This was what, from the beginning of Monday night's game, not the beginning of the season at all, but Monday night's game looked like what you've heard Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy say they're trying to get him to run like. He was running hard, he was hitting holes, and he was getting a lot of yards. What did he finish with? He finished with DeAndre Swift finished with 108 yards, which is a nice game, but he did it at 7.7 per carry. And Pat, that doesn't even account for the 55-yard touchdown because that was a pass. And DeAndre Swift was everything that you would have wanted him to be if you were Ben Johnson tonight.
Well, and the Bears kept him fresh, too. I mean, he only had 14 carries for 108 yards.
Well, he made the most of them.
But Kyle Manungai had 5. DJ Moore had 2. Roshan had 1. Olamide Zaccheaus, that's harder to say at 12:30 in the morning than it should be, had 1. The Bears mixed it up and kept him fresh for the fourth quarter. And to your point, they went run, short pass to Colston Loveland, of all people, for that.
Yeah, there he is.
And then run, quarterback run, kick the ball, essentially. And it was, I can't phrase this enough, but this stuff doesn't usually happen for the Bears.
It happens to the Bears.
It happens to the Bears all the time.
Shoot themselves in the foot like this all the time.
The Bears defense, Jason, early in the game gave him a chance, a little bit like the Raider game, where, Jaquan Brisker jumps in front of a pass at the 2-yard line, and the Bears can only get a field goal off of that. Later, there's a fumble, and 18 guys jump on the ball. I had Brisker coming up with it. I think the book had somebody else. But suffice it to say that there was a nice little scrum there. And then in the second half, the Commanders figure it out. And I believe, there are 3 touchdown passes for Jaden Daniels tonight?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, pretty good game other than that fumble. 19 for 26, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception, and 119 passer rating. He's good.
He's good.
He ran for 52 yards as well.
Well, and it's weird. You get the impression that the Bears can't play shootout with everybody they go up against. And even at the end tonight, I mean, the Commanders used all their timeouts during the Bears' final drive, and the Bears were happy with that. Even Caleb Williams said, it felt good to not give them the ball back again because they were known for doing some pretty ridiculous things at the end of ball games, at least last year. Jason, I feel like when we talked to Caleb Williams after the game tonight that he was a little more forthcoming with just how much it means for him to win here.
Yeah.
And that's for two reasons. Number one, he's from here. He went to high school 10 miles from this stadium.
He grew up within 20 minutes of this stadium in Upper Marlboro and Bowie, Maryland.
Like, you weren't a smoker at any point, were
no.
you?
No.
Okay. But it's spelled the same way, right?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah. And then to lose to his hometown team and to the quarterback that his hometown team wound up with at number 2, and to lose on the fail Mary, I think really did bother him. And it bothered him more than he wanted to talk about this week. And I think you got the impression after the game that this was a weight lifted off of him and hopefully off of the Bears too.
You read my mind with the pivot to what Caleb Williams talked about after the game. I think we should get into a lot of what he said, and that's a good place to start what you said. He also, I thought it was really telling today, Monday night, the way he spoke about playing for Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give him a lot of credit because he never trashed Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron when there were so many times that he could have. And I remember asking him questions like, do you have confidence in your head coach at a certain point? Or have you been coached well and things like that? And he at every turn managed to say the right thing. And not trash the previous coaching staff, but you are seeing now in the way that he talks about Ben Johnson what he didn't have before. And he talked Monday night after the game about waking up every day being grateful that he's playing for Ben Johnson, calling Ben Johnson a mastermind, and talking about kind of the attitude and the confidence that Ben Johnson has instilled in him. And keep in mind, this is a coach who for the last 7 months or 8 months, 9 months, I think it is now, Ben Johnson has been riding this guy hard. Ben Johnson has been all over every mistake. He has been, Caleb Williams said it coming out of his rookie season, he wanted the Bears to hire a coach who was going to coach him hard, got his wish. Ben Johnson has been relentless and to the point where they've had conflict and right. had to work through it. And they both have talked about how that's been a positive in their relationship, kind of arguing these things out and then getting to a good place with it. You are seeing the respect that he has for Ben Johnson in the comments that he's been making about Ben Johnson and what the experience has been like.
Do you know what I've liked, Jason? I like that we have gone from Caleb calling him Ben casually to him calling him Coach Johnson.
Oh, has he? I didn't even notice that. Good catch.
Been a last couple of weeks sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he said there was even a play call. It was the quarterback sweep, the one-yard run that got him a touchdown in the first half. By the way, as it turns out, when you need a yard at this stadium, maybe let the quarterback keep it and not the offensive lineman playing fullback.
You know, we were in the same interview room Monday night as we were last time the Bears played here, and I was thinking, like, man, what a difference in the questions being asked. These are the questions that get asked when teams win. You're getting, you know, DeAndre Swift is up there joking around about introducing himself to Jake Moody on the sideline, and Jake Moody is talking about all the teammates he didn't know before, instead of questions about why did you hand the ball to Doug Kramer at the goal line, or why didn't you notice that Tyreek was wandering off mentally and physically, or why were you giving the Commanders yards at the end of the game before they threw the Hail Mary. It was such a different tone, and that's what happens when things are going well. The whole mood of everything within and around the team changes.
Can I bring the mood down a little bit, Jason?
Well, but why don't you try that again and say it, like, less cheerfully?
Jason, can I bring the mood down first?
Yeah, what do you got for us?
DJ Moore, Bears receiver, who we saw in the locker room, mm-hmm. Is going to stay here for precautionary medical reasons after leaving the stadium in an ambulance. Mm-hmm. The Bears just announced this within the last couple of minutes. Obviously concerning, no real details from them on exactly what it was. I think we saw him take a hit to the midsection, but to speculate beyond that, as you and I sit here right now, would be somewhat irresponsible. So, you know, we'll keep an eye out tomorrow.
Should have an update on that Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, Tuesday from Ben Johnson. Obviously concerning, but DJ, I realize things like this have nothing to do with toughness, but is DJ the toughest guy on the team?
I mean, he's up there. Yeah. He takes hits all the time, and you think that's going to take him out of the game, and then it doesn't.
No. So that will be something that we do monitor here. Jason, anything else grab you from tonight?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have the immediacy of, you know, what happened in a game. Every Sunday, Monday, whatever, Thursday night, it's what did they do to survive? So when you look at, like, the Raiders win, that's great that they won that game. Then you zoom back, you zoom out, and you kind of try to make sense of what does that mean? What does that tell you? So let's do that with this. I mean, however they won this game, especially this is so much different than beating the Raiders, because this is such a good team in Washington that they beat, a contender to win the NFC. To come away with the win by any means in Washington is impressive. They did, and through their own admission, through Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams' own words, it was a lot of continuation of some sloppy football on both sides of the ball, some stuff that makes you wonder if it's sustainable. You know, they bail themselves out with turnovers and big plays. And in the moment, for one game, great that you can find a way to do that. Very difficult to count on that regularly. I do think that it's a huge positive for them in the schedule right now that after pulling off this win, they go home and play the Saints. And then I forget the order of this, but it's the Bengals and the Ravens and the Giants in some particular order.
I think it goes Ravens, Giants, Bengals.
It's all teams that are in some kind of crisis and big losing records. So I don't know that the Bears can beat all those teams, because nothing is ever an easy win for the Bears. Nothing's ever a slam dunk, not even the Saints at home coming up. But it's such a good opportunity for them to straighten out some of those issues and theoretically win along the way while doing so.
We talked about this after the Raiders game. Jason, I don't think the Bears are in position to apologize for anything right now. An ugly win, pretty win, they all count the same. And, you know, they're on this, you know, kind of parallel path of they need to win, but they also need the quarterback to get better noticeably each and every week. I'm not sure tonight satisfied the second thing, but they did enough to win. And, boy, after all the years of Bears games that we've covered where they didn't do enough to win, or they were the one putting the ball on the ground with 3 minutes to play, this is better than the alternative if you're them.
The biggest thing that looks sustainable coming out of Monday's game for me is Swift. that you can get Swift to run like that and that he can see the effectiveness of running like that. Your offensive line blocked much better. It was a much more coordinated rushing attack than it had been in the first four games. That might be something that continues. That maybe is problem solved. Let me ask you one more thing before we get out. What do you do with Jake Moody? Because he's actually not on your roster. He's right. Still on your practice squad. Theoretically, anybody could sign him Tuesday if they need a kicker.
If a team comes to him and tries to sign him, I think you have to promote him to the active roster. Just think you do.
So you tell him, let us know if you get an offer because we'll match it and sign you?
Well, I mean, there's no guarantee that Cairo Santos's quad is better on Tuesday or Wednesday than it was on Monday. I mean, I presume if he couldn't go today that it might be hard for him to go next week too. And if so, I think you need to have a backup plan, and Jake Moody proved tonight that he's a pretty good backup plan.
He is a backup plan, though. Keep in mind all the excitement about Jake Moody Monday night. You'd rather have Cairo Santos. Cairo Santos is the most accurate kicker in Bears history, the most accurate kicker in the history of Soldier Field. He's got a much longer track record of being reliable. If he's healthy, you want him.
Would you dare keep two kickers?
I've seen teams keep four quarterbacks. I mean, it's a question of, you know, is that worth it for your 53rd roster spot? I would say for another week, it is for the Bears.
Yeah, and keep in mind, they also have to bring Austin Booker and Travis Homer back at some point in the next 2 weeks off of IR. But Jason, we'll talk about them, but probably more high-profile Bears as the week goes on. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website and in print. And we will be back again later this week. For Jason Leisher, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television Shonda Rhimes as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at WBEZ.org/events.